And now, it's time for the talk of the Northwest. The 9 to Noon Show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning. It is 4 minutes past nine on this Tuesday, the 5th of August, 2025. How are you all keeping? I do hope you had a great weekend, and what a busy weekend it was potentially for you right across our beautiful region. So many activities and festivals and fundraising and events taking place, and great crowds out and about, even though the weather turned on us, didn't it? Sunday evening into Monday. Yesterday was like a winter's day, except a little bit milder with these stormy weather conditions, which are complicated because all the trees are heavy and full of leaves and what have you. So a strong wind in the summer is much more potentially problematic than a strong wind in the winter. But we all got through it, hopefully, and I do hope you're very well today. Now, we've got so much coming up on the programme, as always, and we want your views and your opinions and your comments and your topics coming into us. Keep us busy. We're very interactive here, and your interaction with us is crucial to the show. 086 6020 5000, that's the WhatsApp and text number if there's something that you want mentioned. 086 6020 5000. If you prefer to give us a call, the number there is 074 91 25000, 074 91 25000, and feel free to email comments at highlandradio.com. so if you're listening to the podcast on the website or maybe the re-stream of the show overnight, feel free to comment via email and we can pick up your comments and carry them through to the next live show. And of course, just to remind you, maybe you're on your summer holidays, the start of August, very quiet for many people as they take a break. Don't forget, if you're at home, you can watch the show on your smart TV or your Fire Stick. Just open the YouTube app and type in Highland Radio Ireland and join our regular viewers every single day in their thousands. Or you can watch on Facebook and X. Let's see what's happening in the papers today. We'll go to the Irish Independent, and it's the story of an Indian taxi driver who was assaulted in an unprovoked attack. His children have said to him that they don't want him driving a taxi any longer. Lakhir Singh, who's 46, is recovering from his injuries he suffered in the attack, but he has been left too scared to even think about his livelihood and future. The father of two was dropping off two young men at Poppintree Community Sports Centre, where they turned on him and struck him twice across his forehead with a bottle, shouting, "Go back to your country." The men ordered the taxi on an app at about 11:30 p.m. and one of the two willingly paid the €50 fare up front. The other man, however, initially refused to get into the taxi with a black driver, but he was persuaded to take the lift, according to Mr. Singh. After a stop off at a garage in Ballymun, Mr. Singh dropped the two men at Poppintree, where they suddenly turned on him. And there's a couple of stories in the papers today about attacks on people from different countries, some born here, some that have moved here, and the narrative being that there is an increase in these types of attack, racial language or rhetoric and what have you. So that seems to be the focus of many papers and different stories today. Is that the lived experience? I've spoken to people from different communities in Donegal over recent years, and have wondered if their experience in Ireland has worsened in recent months and years, and the general consensus seems to be no. I mean, I'm not for one second in any way mitigating or trying to reduce the experience that this man went through, but there are random attacks for all different reasons all of the time, and bad people do bad things, and they'll always try and use an excuse. I'm not sure if that's the way society is going or if that's just a couple of instances. 086 6020 5000. The Irish Times this morning reports that the age, number of previous pregnancies, form of contraception and gestation of women who access abortion services in Irish hospitals is to be collected by the HSE for the first time. The National Women and Infant Health Programme is running a pilot system designed to collect more information about termination of pregnancy health services in Irish maternity hospitals. Though the data system is only coming in a number of maternity units, there are plans within the HSE to make it national. While it will mainly collect information about abortions carried out in hospital settings rather than from pills provided by a GP, the HSE will also start collecting details of women who present hospitals after taking abortion pills at home or accessing a termination abroad. Until now, the only national data collection about abortion each year was the total number of terminations carried out under each section of the law, the month it was carried out, and the county or country of residency of the woman accessing the health service. The data was required to be reported to the Minister for Health under legislation introduced in 2018 following the repeal of the Eighth Amendment. The HSE said until recently there was no formal or systematic national mechanism for monitoring, evaluating termination of pregnancy services. What will that that data be used for? I do wonder. But anyway, there it is. There is some statistics here. The most recent data available from the Department of Health said the number of women who had abortions in Ireland rose to 10,852 last year. The overwhelming majority, 10,711, were early pregnancy terminations, where a woman takes two types of medicines prescribed by a GP up to 12 weeks of pregnancy. The HSE said its new data system will collect more detail about abortions provided in hospital settings. So last year, 10,852 abortions, the majority of them, bar 140, were in the first 12 weeks of pregnancy. So 140 were after the 12 weeks. It doesn't give any further information in relation to that. But almost 11,000 abortions in 1 year in this country. And of course, the conversation at the time would have been that abortion was required. And I'm not debating it again, but just when we were going voting in the referendum, a lot of the conversation was about fatal fetal abnormalities and rape and incest, and issues such as that, and that people didn't anticipate a massive rush of people seeking abortions. But it seems we don't know the breakdown as to why people chose to get them. But the vast majority in the first 12 weeks, that means there's no indicative scan, I would imagine. I'm not a doctor, but I think a lot of information becomes apparent at 20 weeks. So the overwhelming majority in the first 12 weeks. Rural families with gay and transgender teens continue to face tacit and explicit homophobia. This is the Irish Daily Mail. One parent told researchers compiling a government report his family are moving because their son's at risk of suicide because of bullying. When my son is hanging from a shower, who do I blame? The parent asked. We're now moving next month out of the town because it's affecting all of us. Another parent said, LGBT kids see what my son goes through and there's no way those kids are coming out. Our town makes no secret that he's different. They should be able to look at him expressing himself. He should be an inspiration, not a warning label. Another parent said of their son, you hear the horror stories, so that does make me worry. Another parent told researchers, if we were in Dublin, we would have completely different support. The reports published by the Department of Children and Equality highlighted a lack of mental health help for carers and their children, with families from rural communities disproportionately impacted. While only a minority of urban parents described their child as experiencing homophobia or transphobia, most from rural areas reported feeling afraid for their child's safety, with few places to go for help. A notable number of the 26 parents and carers interviewed made the decision to move schools and in some cases moved their families to avoid bullying. This highlighted a clear need for more support and monitoring within schools, particularly in more rural communities where acceptance was more challenging, the report noted. So I'm not sure if that report or it's something within it that affects you or affects someone in your family, or if it's an issue you recognise in our part of the world. If it's something you want to talk about, feel free to get in touch with us on 086 60 25,000. Now, we're going to be talking a little bit later on in relation to Ryanair going paperless. This is one of those stories whereby I haven't furnished a piece of paper at a boarding gate for ages and ages and ages and ages, and I actually find it a distraction, unnecessary, and you can potentially lose them. I like the idea that they're on your phone, and if you're travelling with someone, and even if you lost the phone, they've got them on their phone as well. So I recognise that it's going to be a complication for some, but just to be completely honest, it's not something I've experienced for a very long time. So we're going to be talking about that, but we're going to be talking to a travel expert. So maybe you're planning on going on holidays later this month or next month or October, and perhaps maybe you're looking for a suggestion, a destination for a couple, for a single traveller, or maybe as a family or whatever it might be. So if there's a number of questions, I can put them to Owen, who's going to be joining us later. So if you have any questions about holidays, holiday destinations, where's good to go, where's hot, where's not, let us know, 086 60 25,000, because interestingly, a lot of people seem to report that some of the big hot spots, if I could put it like that, in terms of numbers, have been relatively quiet throughout July, and I just wonder what's going on. We know our visitor numbers here are down, but it's not unique to us, I don't think. The United States has seen some of their markets completely collapse. But anyway, if you've got any questions about destinations, let us know, 086 60 25,000. The Sun reports today that Sinn Féin is urging the government to intervene and stop another price increase on electricity bills. The Commission for Regulation of Utilities is preparing to increase the network cost on bills to help pay for future capital investment. However, the price of power for the big data centres around the country, which use up a large percentage of the Irish supply, is to be reduced. Sinn Féin slammed the proposed price increase for consumers and price cut for the data centres and said the timing is all wrong, especially with over 300,000 householders in arrears. Now, I understand we have to invest in our network, but why are a very small group of companies able to take a quarter of our electricity and pay less for it? I mean, you know, maybe there is broader benefits to the economy with data centres, but please articulate that for us. Many, many, many hundreds of thousands of us are struggling to pay bills. Why are our bills going up when electricity companies are making record profits? You know, why aren't they using some of their resources or more of their resources to invest in the infrastructure? That means the better the infrastructure, the more development, the more money they make. It's crazy, isn't it, that we're paying for the infrastructural development so that electricity companies can provide more electricity and make more money. And data centres just have come in here and now they take one quarter of all of our electricity. For what? Like, what's the benefit to us? Why is their power going down? Why is ours going up? You know, there does come a point where we need to stop being treated like idiots, or at least explain in very, very clear terms as to why that is. Why are electricity companies' profits insulated, no pun intended, and when we need to spend extra money, it's the hard-pressed consumer that has to do so. I would love an explanation, a clear explanation, and I think we're entitled to that. I presume many of you are tracking this story, and it's covered in all the papers. I'll take it from the Irish Daily Mirror, of the family of an Irish woman who was kidnapped in Haiti. They say the situation is deeply worrying as they pray for her safe return. Gina Herity from Westport in County Mayo was among seven adults and a three-year-old child kidnapped in the Haitian capital, Port-au-Prince. The humanitarian worker is the director of the Santa Helene orphanage run by Nos Petits Pires et Suers in the community of Kenscough. In a statement, her family said, "The situation is evolving and deeply worrying. We're working closely with NPFS in Haiti and Ireland, the Irish government and international partners who are doing everything possible to ensure the safe and immediate release of Gina and her colleagues." She was arrested by a group of former rival factions that now work together, abducted, who are looking to disrupt. They're a disrupting organisation. And obviously have now garnered international headlines as they ply whatever ideology they are playing. But anyway, a very, very worrying time for a family so far removed from Haiti and waiting on info. The Irish Daily Star, what do you think about this? A zoo is asking for owners of small, healthy pets to donate their furry friends as food for its predators. The Aborg Zoo said it is trying to mimic the natural food chain of the animals housed there for the sake of animal welfare and professional integrity, and offers assurances the pets will be gently euthanized by trained staff. So I don't know whether it's your gerbils or your rabbits or whatever, it could be any animal. What do you think about the notion that they become part of the food chain for predators? I mean, it is natural. They could be, you know, their natural predator. But I mean, obviously, these animals now are domesticated in the wild. It happens anyway. Is this a terrible way to sort of maybe deal with unwanted pets, but also satisfy the hunger of their natural predators. Well, the visitor attraction in Denmark explained in a Facebook post, if you've got a healthy animal that needs to be given away for various reasons, feel free to donate it to us. The zoo points to guinea pigs, rabbits and chickens as possible donations, but some were outraged with one man posting, imagine giving away your pet as fodder. It hardly gets more disrespectful and nasty than that. I agree. I understand. I don't have any of these animals. But if you're giving them up, you're giving them up because you probably can't care for them. And, you know, at what point is there a difference between a rabbit in the field that its natural predator will have a go at it versus, you know, Mr. Fluffles? I know I wouldn't do it. I'm just wondering what your views are out there, because we can be a little bit a la carte and cherry pick as to, you know, when we're very worried about animal welfare and then when we're tucked into a chicken breast and we're not worried at all. Anyway, 086 60 25000, that's the WhatsApp and text number, 086 60 25000. Give us a call on 074 91 25000. Good morning, Mary Jo Boner, great to see you Friday, hope you had a great weekend in Delo. Yes indeed, Mary Jo, we did. We were in and out Friday, in and out Sunday, absolutely wonderful. Fair play to Gavin and Pat and all the team. They do an amazing thing down there in Dunloe, as do festival organisers right across the region. But it's a massive undertaking, and it's very good. It's great. They do fantastic stuff, and they're heading towards year 60, the year after next. So big times ahead. Good morning, Mike. Always good to have you watching. And Dolores, you're never too far away. Now, a Facebook post went up recently, and it reads, and it's been shared out by a group called iPass Hunters. A fantastic idea has emerged from Buncrana and should be replicated in every town around the country. They plan to follow any workmen working on iPass centres in Walker's Lane Home and stage peaceful protests outside their home. So the idea being, if workmen and women are working on the development of an iPass centre, and that, you know, everyone knows where they are because there's planning applications and what have you, the idea being that you would follow the workers from the iPass centres to their homes and then protest out their homes. They say the days of messing on your countrymen and women and hiding behind the facade that you're only a cog in a bigger system is over. It'll be brought to your door. If you're not ashamed of where your money comes from, that won't be a problem for you. But your neighbours will know what you are now. Without you, the plantation, as they've described it, is not possible. So the plan is that people working on iPass centres would be followed home and protest outside their homes. So, you know, theoretically, if this were to happen in Donegal, this would be potentially your friends, neighbours, your fellow community people. I believe this idea came from local man Kim McMenamin, who's a community activist and stood in the local and general elections 2024. Kim, I mean, this is a departure, to say the least, to be targeting, you know, innocent people out for a day's work and then protesting outside their homes, you know, and their families and their neighbours. Why do you think this is such a good idea?
Well, first of all, it's not an innocent day's work. It means if you're working in one of these centres, you're actually facilitating bringing more and more people into your communities. So you're increasing the pressure on all the infrastructure, the doctor surgeries, the hospitals, everything, the school places, you name it. We know the whole nine yards on that. So you remember, it's not an innocent employment. Like, you could get employment elsewhere. And we spoke to some workers already, and they totally understood it. Like, there were scaffolders appeared to the job, the extension there in Walker's Lane in Buncrana. They appeared there on Friday morning. We just went and spoke to them. And I have to say, they totally, totally got it and understood. We said, let's look, you're going to be taking part in something that's going to harm this, there's a potential to harm this community on the infrastructure level, on the crime level, and God knows what else. So I said, look, would you not like stand down and get work somewhere else? And he's going, oh, Kim, we're totally with you on that, and we're out of here. No, we don't want to be involved. They actually said they didn't even know what it was, but, you know, take that with a pinch of salt. But they were compliant, and we approached them really, really peacefully and in such a nice way, understanding way. that they got it. Everybody,
I mean, I get where you're coming from, and I know how you're framing it, Kim, but if I'm in a work site and a group of lads come in, sort of, you know, a few vigilantes land up to where I'm working and say, you know, if you don't desist from working on this project, we'll come into your house. You frame it like you just went out for a pint afterwards, you know?
First of all, we're not vigilantes. We're concerned community citizens. We're not vigilantes. That's a label. You've just framed a label there on. And actually, let's get back to that. It was me, myself, that approached them. I approached four men by myself. There was no vigilante or no group of people because it was early in the morning. And it was just myself. And it did the job. Why? Because people now have had enough. Everybody's had enough. Everybody feels it. The dogs in the street are barking at. Ireland is full to the brim. Every country in Europe is full to the brim. That's why you're having this social disorder in every country, because people aren't taking it anymore. Now, the line has been drawn in the sand. Yes, if you work in I-Pass Walker's Lane extension, you will be followed home peacefully. We will find out where you live, and we will have a peaceful, nice demonstration on the road or on the footpath outside your home. And it won't be intimidatory in nature. Mm. It will be just to highlight and show
How would you feel if people decided just to go out and protest outside your home? How would your family feel?
I would feel I would have to stop working where I'm working because these are concerned community citizens. No,
but how would you feel? How would you feel if people were peed off with the angle you take and everything and said, right, until such time as you desist from the type of activity you're involved in, that we're other members of the community, we're not happy with what's going on. And I'm not saying that would or wouldn't happen. How would you feel if people threatened to have a lovely, happy, peaceful protest outside your house? How would that make you feel?
Well, it's not a threat. It is exposure. We have to expose people who are facilitating these centres in our town. There's going to be 40 people.
Well, yeah, but I mean, would you be happy to give your air code on air, for an example? Would you be happy with that? No.
We're not getting people's air codes.
I'm just saying, would you be happy? Say, for instance, if there were people that disagree with what you're doing, Kim, are you happy to give your air code so they're entitled to go out and have a little peaceful, happy protest outside your house?
Well, look, if people have a disagreement with me, yes, come to my door and have it out with me.
No, but just don't have it out with you. We just want to sit outside your house with banners and just say that you're giving the impression that Ireland is an unwelcoming, racist country. I'm not saying that's what you're doing, okay? I'm just giving an argument as how it could be perceived. And until such time as you persist with giving that impression, we're just going to have a little protest outside your home.
I don't know if you've got
kids or a partner or what have you. I'm just wondering, as you were heading out to school with them or what have you, how would that make you feel? If they just disagreed with you and what you're doing?
Well, first of all, if you're working in a public place like Walker's Lane I-Pass Centre, you're going to be photographed and videoed first, right? You're going to be given a chance. Right? You're going to be given a chance to desist from what you're doing. And if you continue to do that, like the last thing we want to do is be outside people's houses. You're right. We don't want to take extreme measures against people. We don't want to. But look, this is an extreme situation. It's a world crisis. It's a local crisis. So it requires an extreme response.
Why did you decide to run in the general election? What was your motivation?
To get the support. Yeah, well, I got nearly 900 votes in the local election. So, like, I have a good mandate because I know there's a friend of mine who's a councillor down in Dublin, and they've divided Dublin up in such a way that he only got 640 votes and he became a councillor. So Donegal is divided in such a way that the same parties get in all the time. Donegal's divided up in such a way. It's everything in Donegal is unfair.
Yeah, but
totally unfair.
But my, and it's only just for the sake of the conversation. Like, you know, you wanted to get democratically elected by your community to, I presume, go in and affect change, to stop high-pass centres coming into Donegal and what have you. You've failed in that regard. You didn't get your mandate, and now you're threatening...
I wouldn't say I failed, but...
No, you did very well. 900 votes is very impressive. I'm on about literally just the act of getting elected. I'm not having a go, Kim. It's not what I'm interested in.
Well,
I just want a conversation.
You're saying they're democratic. Well,
no, but my point is you want... Yeah, but no, because you wanted to get elected to affect change, but the election didn't work out for you. Let me put it like that. But now what you're doing is, Kim, and it's to tease that, some people might agree, the majority might, I don't know. Now what you're saying is if you work in a particular place, we're going to take photos of you and visit videos, and then we're going to put you up on social media where thousands of people across the country will, you know, effectively doxing people, right? Identify you in this, that, and that. And if that doesn't work, what we're actually going to do, and it doesn't matter, you could have a child with special needs in the house, it doesn't matter, whatever it might be, we're going to call around and sit at your outside your house until you stop working at a place that we don't want you to work on. Is that democracy, really? Is that democracy, Kim? It doesn't feel right, you know?
Look, if someone really, it doesn't feel right, I know that, but like things have to change. But if you feel that you're okay working there and you're quite happy doing it, you'll have no
problem,
getting photographed and videoed because, I mean, you're in a public place. We can do that. It's a democratic process. It's a democratic process to protest as well. Like, you can protest anywhere you like if there's an issue. So, look, it's not what you think it is. It's not as extreme as you think it is. Everything will be done democratically.
Kim, I've been on the end of it, right? I know exactly what happens. It's doxing. What happens is you put people's images on, they start talking about where you live, they start talking about whether you're a paedophile or whatever it might be. I've seen it all, right? So I know, you know yourself, right, that what happens when someone's identity or images are put up on Facebook, and you're an intelligent person and you know exactly what happens, right? It's an absolute pylon at the highest of levels. Now, you're also then proposing, if someone is resilient enough to accept that, then you will actually call around to their house, and it could be your next door neighbour, Kim. You will call around to their house, regardless of the makeup of that household, and have protests outside their house in your own community, Kim. For many people, that is a step too far.
Actually, you're wrong, because we've already approached 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 workers already, and we give them, you know, we told them this is what we're going to do, and they just stood down and they said, well, we're not going to work here anymore, because they get it and we understand, everybody understands that. So at the bottom line is, so far it's been quite successful, and we haven't had to put people's photos up. Do you understand, Greg? So but if we have if we have to go to extreme, okay, we will. 100%. Why not? Because they, no, let me finish. They're bringing this to our doorstep. They're bringing this to our doorstep. So if you're going to bring danger to our doorstep, we have a right to come to your doorstep.
But you know that works on that work's going to happen anyway, so it's people coming from down the country will end up coming in and doing this work anyway. It's only
I can assure you now, Greg, I know myself and I'm confident I know what I can do. It's not going to happen. That building, is not going to happen.
What's next if it's a house that you don't like in the local area, if it's journalism, maybe you don't like a particular journalist, where does it, with this type of action that you're engaged in now, and you are the sole arbitrator, it's you decides what you want and what you don't want, where do you stop? Like, what is going to keep, what is going to stop? No, but like, you, it could be anything. So you now, at this point, anything you don't like, you can go threat to video or photograph people, and if that doesn't work, threaten to go outside their house. You don't care, right? Well, so it could be a transmitter, it could be a journalist, it could be a house that's blocking your view, or a friend of yours. If you like, you are now effectively, you know, the judge, the jury, and the executioner. Where does it stop with you? Is it iPass centres, or what might be next that you don't like?
No, that's wrong. You have to stand up. You have to stand up for your community.
I know, I get that.
Look, you would prevent danger if you got a chance to do it. If I saw someone getting beat up, I would come in and try and rescue them. Like, it's just a matter of self-defense, trying to protect your community. It's not about, you know, anybody who disagrees with me, we're going to take their photo and put it on a website. That's untrue, Greg. It's not like that. You're losing the context here. It is totally about protecting this community.
I know the Facebook pages. This interview's likely to be cut, and I'm likely to be absolutely hammered. I know exactly how it works. You've done it on your own Facebook page to me before, Kim. I know the crack. I don't mind, but you know exactly what I'm talking about here. If these photos and videos of people have put up on the iPass Hunters or the Bunkrana Together or whatever the pages are, I don't even know what they are, you know exactly what happens to these individuals potentially. You're saying if we will expose where you live next and protest outside it. But anyway,
it's just honest journalism to prevent danger and to protect the community. It isn't anything that you're saying. You know, you're trying to turn it around to be something that it's not, Greg. And we all know that you're doing that as a journalist. But I have a right as a citizen journalist to actually express the fears, the apprehensions. Women in Bunkrana are afraid to go around Swans Park for a walk on their own because they know there's an inherent danger. We don't know these people that are coming in. We still don't know, despite what the government are trying to propagandize, that everything's great and it's safe and we're doing this and we're doing that. They're doing nothing. Right, they're not deporting anyone.
Let's bring Paul in here. Paul, good morning to you. What's your reaction to this development that we'll photograph you, we'll video you, we'll put them up online? If that doesn't work, and it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, we're calling around to your house.
Right, so this first thing, hey, a man there should be completely, utterly ashamed of himself for coming up with something like that there. Hey, that's unbelievable. That's just crossed the line, Greg. Do you know what I mean?
Just let him speak, Kim, please. Go ahead, Paul.
You're a fucking community activist, like you live in the Bunkrana, you're a field worker, you're a field wannabe politician, like come here, you're calling yourself a citizen journalist, like what is a citizen journalist?
Okay, let's put the 40 people from the iPass Centre here down beside you, and will you take them into your house?
Kim, let Paul speak, please. Go ahead, Paul.
What you put up online is threatening. That's a threat. Whether it's veiled threats or not. And that should be completely and utterly condemned.
Greg's wrong there. No. I am not coming to anyone's door. I said outside on the road as a peaceful
If they live in Main Street Bunkrana, or they live a couple of kilometres out the road, when you say protesting outside the front door, let's not split hairs. You know exactly what we're talking about, Kim. Like, I'm not having a go. It's your plan. It's not my plan. I'm not trying to sensationalise it.
You said to that guy there, I was going to go to their door. I'm not going to their door.
But you're going to their house.
I said outside on the road. You said I was going to their door. Like, go back on the recording. You just said I was going to their door.
Yes, but that's semantics. I says protest at their house, outside their house. Listen.
People. You said I would be at their door. You said that guy, I'd be at their door.
Okay, listen to me.
You're making it out to be more of a threat than it is.
Outside their house. Directly outside their house, right?
You said door.
Yeah, but that's it.
Go back on the recording.
No, I'm not backtracking. It's phraseology. Well, if you bring something to someone...
I
don't have a poor memory. I'm saying I did say that, but it's been very clear from the beginning that you're talking about protesting outside people's houses. That's correct, yeah?
You said to that guy, I was going to their door. You just said it.
Kim, the cordon's there. If they don't stop working, you're going to go and protest at their houses, outside their houses.
Yeah, but yeah. Not going to their door, like you said, entering their property.
Oh, you I never said that. Oh, geez, Kim.
Oh, you did.
I said so you'd enter and you will rewind it back. You says that I said right, you would enter their property.
I'm not arguing that, but it's there that, for everybody.
So you says, hear. But sure, Kim, you says I said you would enter their property.
You said I would go to their door, which intimates that I am
not,
going to enter
no,
their
no,
property.
No, it does
yeah,
not.
Go on
no,
their
no,
gate,
no,
go on their front gate.
No.
Well, you did say it. Great. No.
So
all
you're
right,
saying
well,
that I'm saying that, you're saying that I'm saying that you would go in through their front gate. No, I never said you'd go into the house. Right. I never said you'd go through the front door. I said you'd bring the protest to their house or to their door.
No,
that's the same
front
thing.
Door, but anyways, look.
It's the same, it's the exact same thing. We're not going around the back of you.
Can we stick to the subject matter, please?
Yeah, Paul, go ahead. Sorry.
Right, they were in trying to. Hey, they went to home of a Donegal County Councillor in Von Doren. And hey, how did that turn out? Like, you know what I mean? You know, that's, we're not splitting hairs. We're calling it what it is here.
Why did you keep talking about facilitating the invasion of this country? Why did you keep talking about that then?
Indeed.
Go on. Keep talking about that. Go on. Hey, you know, what are you talking about? Like, I've. Like, would you talk to me like that if you met me in the street? I don't think you would.
Absolutely, I would. Hey, I'll tell you, somebody comes to my front door.
Nobody's going to your front door. Would you get over to the front door? Get over the front door. Nobody's going to the front door. You're exactly saying what Greg said then. You're the proof. You're the proof that he said I would come to doors. That's wrong. I never said that. Go back to my stuff. Look at my videos. Look. If you're going to come on,
can I just say? Kim, will you just let me speak for a second? I want to read from iPass Hunters here, right? If you want to get caught up in the semantics of it, let me just read this. They plan to follow any workman working in the iPass centres in Walker's Lane home and stage peaceful protests outside their homes. OK,
yeah, what's
now, listen,
with
let me
what's
read on. Let me read on. The days of crapping on your countrymen and women are hiding behind the facade that you're only a cog in a bigger, better system is over. It will be brought to your door if you're not ashamed of where your money comes from. It will be bought from. It will be brought to your door is
and
literally the iPass Hunters.
Said, yeah, that's not me. So people are entitled to their own opinion, are they not, Greg?
Yeah, but you're just after completely lambasting me for saying precisely what is... And whose money is that top... Who shared that post? Don't know who that is?
Everybody shared it, as far as I know.
But so I'm literally... So everybody shared it. I don't even say... I never went as far as that post says, and then you're dragging me up on that... Kim, it says it in the post. It will be brought to your door, and if you're not ashamed of where your money comes from, that won't be a problem for you, but your neighbours will know what you are now. Without you, the plantation is not possible. So listen, people will have their views on it and what have you, but I was literally just quoting from the post.
McLaughlin, the TD for this area, Padraig McLaughlin, stated Donegal should be exempt. We are overflowing with immigration. He said Donegal should be exempt during the Ballyliffin standoff.
Yeah, but a lot. I think the majority of people in this county are of the view that our services are stretched to breaking point, and that Donegal has done as much or equal or more to any county.
And I'm the only one standing up and doing something about it, because our local representatives are not voicing their opinion. Everybody is being silent. Well, I wonder why that is. Any idea why that is? Why did Donegal County Council pass that planning when a family living right on the main street are totally blocked from sight and light?
Okay.
Why were they totally ignored? But Donegal County Council should be ashamed of themselves.
But Paul, to your...
I don't know who the planners are.
But Paul, to your broader point...
Must be,
I get you, Kim, sorry.
Must be woke. They have to be woke people.
Yeah,
they have to be.
You've had a good old run, Kim, and I appreciate you coming on. But Paul, you believe, you know... Without getting in, but sure, Kim, you've had 15 minutes to get your point across, and every time Paul spoke, you spoke over him. So,
But he's not making sense. He's making
He's sharing his opinion. Are we not entitled to exchange opinions? Like, is that gone as well?
I'm entitled to call people out.
Yes, I know, but people are entitled to express an opinion, Kim, and Paul has his opinion. And Paul, you believe, do you, and I'm not putting words in your mouth, that this is a step too far. This is extremism.
Of course he does.
I'm condemning it straight away, absolutely condemning it. And like, I'm friends with people that have worked in APAS centres. And I'm telling you, hey, Kim McManaman, hey, you're sadly mistaken if you think that they're going to walk away from a couple of €100 a week job.
They don't have to walk away. They don't have to. They can work there if they want. There's no force being used.
I know the scaffolders exactly who you're talking about. You're from Derry.
I think Paul's opposition to it is very, very clear. Kim's position is also very clear. Kim, other people working in the IPAS sector, are they next? You know, if they're catering or like, where does it end?
Any supplier. Look, I spoke to a company the other day and they agreed to stand down and not supply. Okay. And because they do not want their business being affected by me putting something up on a post.
Okay.
I mean, I think that's fair journalism. If you're doing something, don't be hiding it. Don't be secret about it. Don't be coming in.
It'll be interesting just in terms of journalism. We've had you on here. We've had a good exchange of views. It'll be interesting to see how you frame this as a citizen's journalist when you share that a little later on. It'll be interesting to see how it all pans out because sometimes, I think sometimes people prefer if this is not discussed and talked about. But we'll see. All right, Kim, thanks for your time. 086 60 25,000 is the WhatsApp and text number. Paul, thanks for your time as well. We'll be back after the break. To some of your comments, everyone is forgetting the point. The problem is that the government is not communicating with them what's happening. Another, fair play to Kim standing up for Ireland. Politicians selling out Ireland, their cronies making millions off the back of it, and there are people making absolute millions, hundreds of millions. Off the back of IPAS centres, that is an indisputable fact. Door is another word for house in colloquial language. My back door is my back garden, says a listener. What Mr. McMenamin is proposing is pure and simple intimidation, and I don't know any woman who's afraid to walk Swan Park from an Innishowen resident. Another, I think Kim hasn't a clue. He's going back on his story. Cut him off. Well, there's no point cutting people off. We have to have conversations. This is happening. And sort of, if you really don't like that it's happening, ignoring the people that are responsible for it doesn't in any way advance anything at all. I think Kim hasn't a clue. He's going back on his story, says another listener. Let me see. What an extremely threatening way to treat people. You are not protecting the community, Kim. You are creating fear. Who is this man? What he is explaining is stalking and harassment, all of which are illegal. Another fair play to Kim exposing these businessmen that are housing foreign economic scammers that are bleeding the country dry and putting our women and children in very serious danger. 80% of Irish people want these places closed permanently and those people returned back to their own countries. Why bring Kim McMenamin on the airwaves? Well, I've explained that. It's happening, and this is happening, and people have been approached, and ignoring it doesn't mean it doesn't happen. And not discussing it doesn't in any way, you know, help the situation either. A caller says, the public have spoken clearly to say they don't want to listen to these arrogant people in the last election when he only got 544 first preference votes. Morning, Greg. I fully agree with Kim. My neighbours are being evicted and foreigners housed in their homes. Too many foreigners coming into this country. Thank you. Now, many people might agree with, because what we're actually talking about here is many people might agree that maybe Donegal, as I said to Kim, that Donegal has borne an awful lot of helping people fleeing international persecution or whatever way you want to frame it, or fleeing the Ukrainian war. What we're actually talking about here is going to people's places of work and saying, we're going to photograph you and video and put you online. And if that doesn't work, we're going to call and protest outside your home. So, you know, it's that element of it. Is that a bridge too far? I agree with this man. A lot of people getting rich on the back of this. Things have gotten so out of hand and everyone knows what's happening. Absolutely terrible. Donegal is the second highest number of people coming into this country. Greg, serious question. Have you travelled through Letterkenny, Dublin, Galway, etc. lately? The Irish people are becoming a minority in their own country and every service in the country is broken. So you think this country can still keep taking in the rest of the world? Just because I discuss something, just because I have a counterpoint to something, that does not mean that that is my point of view, just to be very clear on that. Kim is well able to come on to his point of view. I'm not a cheerleader, so I'm not going to bring anyone on, whether it's Kim or anyone. We're going to have a debate or a conversation and to tease out the issues. Then to challenge me to go and drive through Letterkenny and make a judgment call, that's not the point. The point is that we're having a debate on what he's doing, and just because I oppose his view or anyone's view, that is part of the process. Is Kim going to target people providing to the young people and families in the IPAS centres? There is more of an intimidation than following the construction workers home. I think that Kim McMenamin is a hero and should be treated as such. There are 17 IPAS centres in Letterkenny, 11 on the main street alone. Do people realise this? Kim, you stood in the local elections. The locals rejected you. You stood in the general election and Donegal rejected you. So you do not have a mandate. Another, I wonder what Kim does for a living. How can workers be asked not to go to work? That's pure bullying. Workers have bills to pay and have to feed their children. Some people are too busy working to stand outside and protest building sites. Another, Greg, Kim McMenamin does not represent the majority of people of Buncrana. He's only a handful of local followers. Make no mistake, Kim and his followers are racists. His hate speech of filtering into school, well, he would argue very, very strongly that he's not a racist, that he doesn't care what the nationality of the people are or not, that he's it's more about the sort of safety and security of the area. But you're entitled to your opinion too. Well done, Kim. You have my vote next time. I've nothing but positive things to say about immigrants to Donegal. They work hard, they're polite and engaging, and they don't whinge and blame others. Another, Greg is being totally irrational. I agree the time for this insane immigration needs to stop. Unfortunately, this government is hell-bent on the destruction of the country.